You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
So today we are interviewing Freya from Environmental Film Festival Australia about two Rising Tide screenings coming up this week for the 2024 Rising Tide documentary made at the People's Blockade of Newcastle, the biggest coal port in the world, and alongside also a screening of Ngurra Moroi Forest Camp, a frontline story. Environmental Film Festivals Australia is a volunteer-run community group based in NAM promoting action through cinema, community and connection. So thank you so much, Freya, for chatting with us today.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
Feeling technically proficient, which feels amazing.
Thanks for joining us.
I wondered if I could start by asking just a little bit about the context of Environmental Films Australia, how long it's been going for, and what kind of this year's iteration is.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that question. So to start off with, we have recently, just this year, changed our name. So you got it right the second time. We're Environmental Films Australia. The confusing part that I'll add on to that is that we used to be Environmental Film Festival Australia, and we do have a festival coming up called Environmental Film Festival, but we're Environmental Films Australia. And so as you said, we're a volunteer-run, we're a charity, we're an arts charity, and we prioritise climate and environment on screen. And as part of that, we run lots of different events. That includes our festival, which is our flagship event, but we also do regular smaller community screenings. We do partnerships with different people, and something I'm pretty excited about is in the last couple of years we've started doing curation, which is where we provide our big bank of films out to other people. So we support governments, organisations, but also other small community groups to do their own environmental screenings. And we do that all across Australia and occasionally in other countries in the world, but mostly we stay reasonably local.
Mm. And given the rampant media disinformation and misrepresenting around so many things, but I think specific to Environmental Films Australia reporting on ecocide and genocide and protest and resistance, why is an initiative like this so important, not just for storytelling, but also as news and analysis and politics?
What a chunky question. I love it. I think at the heart of it for me, it's we live in a world where there's a lot of things happening at the moment, and it can be very overwhelming and very daunting, and it can feel very powerless. And particularly even outside of the current political climate, looking at climate anxiety and climate justice, it can feel very like that's really big. That's the planet, that's the wider world, and I can't do anything about it. And so I feel quite privileged with Environmental Films Australia to be able to feel like at least I can put some of my actions towards supporting raising other people's voices. And also one thing we've been really focused on, particularly this year as part of our name change, is that idea of community. I think sometimes when you're watching films and cinema, I mean, to be fair, often these days when people are watching films, it's at home and they're probably also on their phone and maybe getting up and about. But it's like put it in the cinema context. You go and watch a film, you maybe have all these feelings. It can be really empowering. It can be really devastating. It can be really special. And then you watch the film and then you leave. And that's kind of it. And then particularly if you're based somewhere like NAM, you're then often on the train surrounded by some people who go to the footy, some people that have been drinking, some people that are living their lives. And so you can feel quite disconnected and there's a lot to sit with. So events like this one where we're teaming up with Rising Tides, who are obviously very action forward, is really special because you get to watch these films, see what people are doing, see the different responses to things that are happening in the world, and then also connect with people. And for this one, we're having a little supper afterwards, so you can come and kind of mingle and be around people that you know that also care about similar things. So it creates a bit of a safe space, but also, yeah, that just platform for connection. So rather than watching a film and leave, you can sit in those feelings, whether sometimes you're like all riled up and ready and yes, I'm going to do something about this, or again, it might be something that's more emotive. Sometimes people can think of us as the depression festival, and we definitely tell more than just, we do, there's definitely some devastating stories, I can't deny it, but we do do more than that. And so that action and that empowerment and that raising up of voices that you won't necessarily get to hear, I think is really important. But also being environmental, there's also a lot of really beautiful things out there in the environment. So it doesn't all have to be sort of doom and gloom. So I think we sit in a pretty special space. And I think this little small event and series is a really nice one for that. It's very community focused. It's us and Rising Tide. We're all volunteers. It's, you know, just come together on a Wednesday night, have some plant-based snacks, watch some films, and then talk about it. So I think it really hopefully can just provide a bit of alleviation to not have to take everything on.
And just so you know, I think if you did ever rename to the Depression Festival, I'm pretty certain that Koshin and I would be avid subscribers.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe we'll do just a little like special event for you.
I think Koshin and I have a special connection over watching depressing films together and talking about them. So this is, yeah,
that would be a great maybe a miniature festival, maybe something on the side.
Yeah, we could do a special event. You could be the panel. Something.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting even thinking about the potential wider audiences around kind of upskilling people from these climate spaces to be able to kind of go on the train afterwards and have a conversation with someone who's come from the football, and instead of kind of having these different kind of slightly jarring spaces of knowing how we bring those conversations together.
Yeah, definitely. And these kind of events are designed, but hopefully it means that maybe you sit with a new person on the train and can have those conversations and you're not just on your own. But I do need to be clear, I'm not doing any shade on the footy. Like, important part of city culture.
So. Yeah. No, we need
And climate change is going to impact those football fields as well. So it's for everybody.
Definitely. I did want to ask, what do you feel is the target audience? Is it people who are already engaged environmentally, or do you have films that you select to try to educate people who maybe are climate change skeptics? Is that part of the list at all?
Yeah, we talk a lot about and try to not just preach to the converted, but also the converted need a space as well. So everybody's welcome. And that's really what part of our name change and our vision change is moving beyond that festival format, because I would also argue that film festivals speak to a particular demographic as well. And by working more on that community level, it means we're able to connect with people that we wouldn't necessarily, they might not actually see environmental films and be like, oh, I want to go to that. But we are currently doing some work with the Macedon and Mount Macedon Landcare Group for them to do their own screenings. And there'll be different people that will come to that because they know little Margaret that works there, so they'll come along with her. Or we've done some screenings up in Bribie Island in Queensland and in Moreton Bay in Sydney, and they're through connecting with other groups that are going to connect again with those new people. We went up to Chilton in regional Victoria and ran a pop-up cinema there. And again, just some very different people coming through. And part of that's us thinking, being really mindful with the films that we choose and knowing that when people talk about environmental films, they think that's the genre, but environmental cinema goes across all genres. So last year we did a screening of Mad Max 2 with a selection of speculative future shorts, because we're really seeing a lot of speculative future stuff come through to us now, whereas traditionally probably more documentaries. We're getting a lot of that fictional pieces, and that again just means that we're connecting with new people that might understand the issues in different ways. So we are trying to be really broad in that approach.
Yeah, really interesting.
Yeah, and I think the speculative fiction makes me so excited because it speaks to kind of like abolitionist world building. It's not just looking at critiques and what we need to pull down, but it's also looking at imagining and being quite creative with other people about what we could possibly build.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really interesting to see it come through in our space, because obviously these films are coming up more and more because people have a lot of anxiety and worry for the world now, and so it's a real creative output to think actually what could the future look like. And it's so interesting how much of that future relies on the environment around whatever new world they're looking at. We see like things with seeds coming through quite a lot, and that kind of flora space, but also water and desert landscapes. But it's really, a lot of them are environmental films in the way they're responding to the idea of dystopian and speculative futures.
Mm. And for the two screenings that are happening upcoming this week, there's one on the 17th of September and one on the 19th. Are you able to run us through what these films are and where people can watch them?
Absolutely. So on the 17th, us Environmental Films Australia are teaming up with Rising Tide, and we're screening two films. So Turning the Ship, which is Rising Tide's documentary that's really telling the story about Australian-wide activism and that group Rising Tide going to the 2024 People's Blockade up in Newcastle. So again, that's a really positive movement of community action and trying to bring people together from across the nation to make big change. And then for the screening on Wednesday, we are pairing it with Nguru Marori, Forest Camp, A Frontline Story, which is a really beautiful and empowering documentary that looks at looking for country, caring for country and activism. And as part of that, what's particularly nice about it is it's a group of local custodians and allies that come together to fight to protect forest land, protect country. And this should be spoilers, but I'm going to tell you anyway because it doesn't happen very often. As part of the film, you get to see the success that they have in their campaign. And often these kind of documentaries cut off before you find out what happens. So it's really exciting to have one that shows that there's a real grassroots victory against the threat of native forest logging.
Mm, and I know with the Nguru Marori film, there has also been some recent developments, I think, around the moratorium on logging that was announced just recently. So I think that's a good kind of legway to look at how not just these actions, but also the media representation of them, such as through environmental films, has material impacts.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you heard me struggling to get my words there, it's because I was looking for the location. It was near a state forest. And the reason I think it's important for us to see those kind of stories as well is, I don't know if you're aware, Australia is really big. It's a big country, and we've got lots of countries on here with very different landscapes and very different like climate and environmental and political issues. And so it's nice with this one to be able to step somewhere else and see the issues that are happening there, but also see the local Aboriginal communities working with other local communities to have a successful campaign and to really fight to support and protect sacred land.
Yeah. With the Turning the Ship film about the blockade, has there been what have been the long-term effects of that campaign? I know that it's an ongoing campaign, but has that action led to any significant responses from the government?
Yeah, great question. That is probably a better question for my Rising Tide colleague at the event. We're basically both bringing a film. But I think what I've personally found really inspirational about Rising Tide and that what the film is about is that this is the second time we've done with this event with them. So they did a documentary about the 2023 blockade and seeing the growth of it and the impact, but also I don't know if you saw it the end of last year, media coverage and the policing, you can see that they're really agitating in that space, and they have had some successes. But that's kind of what the film goes through, is there are triumphs, but there's also lows, and it's not just turning up. You've got to keep turning up and keep building that community, I guess.
Mm. I do remember the coverage of it and the intense police presence.
Yeah.
I was wondering, this might be a bit of a sideways question, but is there any anxiety within the film festival about that increased criminalization of protests and protest movements, thinking about Palestine Action in the UK being designated a terrorist organization, and then the ramifications of that being anyone seen to be supporting that group can then, by de facto also be criminalized. Is there any anxiety about showing protest movements and organizations if those organizations are then deemed too much of a threat to the government?
Yeah, that is a great question. So I guess also a bit of a sideways tangent. My background is in events, and events, people think events are all about fun. Events is all about risk assessment. So I think rather than it specifically being a concern on a global whole, you would be taking that as an individual event and program. And we try to be really mindful about where we program what and who we're programming for. Going back to that Depression Festival, I know that our level of films, there's some films that I'm like, this was relatively upbeat because I've seen so many more. But then when we take it out to a small regional town, they're like, this is so depressing. We just need more birds, please. So we do have to be mindful about our programming. But I think in terms of that kind of showcasing protest, I mean, it's potential that Rising Tide might have a different answer to me because they are the activist group, and so they have a much closer connection for it, whereas we're just a cute little volunteer environmental org, guys. So I think it's more about thinking about what we're platforming and how, but we wouldn't want to shy away from telling those stories that are really important to environmental cinema, which absolutely includes Aboriginal stories and activism and people out there trying to save the world. Last year at our festival, I did have someone complain to me because when we did our acknowledgement of country, we also acknowledged Palestine, and they said Palestine has nothing to do with the environment, which is obviously very incorrect. And even if you were to step away from Palestine in general, war absolutely has an impact on the environment as well as all the people on the environment. So we're not nervous about shying away for where we stand, but at the moment I wouldn't say we're nervous about people coming to protest us.
Yeah, no, fantastic.
But and if you hear of anybody, let me know. Like, not personal.
Yeah, it reminds me, even just last week there was a screening of To Kill a War Machine, which documents the Albert activism campaigns in the UK, and yeah, it's so important to both document what is not being documented and what's kind of being misrepresented, but also to inspire people across the world to keep campaigning when you can see other people doing it and the effects that it has. So it does change hearts and minds.
Yeah, absolutely, and it can be a really nice way of letting people see another point of view. And often it might be we've been really lucky that quite a few of the films that we've worked with, we've also seen go on to things like SBS, not through us, but it's nice to see our filmmakers doing well. And I think there's a real space for connecting with people in their homes or in their communities about something they hadn't considered. And you don't always need to be shoving messages down people's throats for them to be opened up to go like, oh, I hadn't realised that these are people, or that this is what's really happening, or that this is a different point of view, or that this isn't necessarily what you're seeing in the media. So I think there's a real power in sharing those stories, particularly of smaller community groups around the world.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think especially with the sort of media that we have, the media environment, I mean, the film industry, the mainstream film industry, the sorts of things that usually make it into the cinema, even if they're not outwardly presenting themselves as ideological, are definitely very ideological. And it's definitely very important to have a counter narrative to that and, you know, present an alternative view and show people, expose the hegemonic ideas that are kind of presented maybe aren't always correct, that there are these very important issues that are underrepresented.
100%, and particularly places are always going to be, like, the main media, wherever you are, is going to be more concerned with where you are, and so they're not going to necessarily tell the stories of what's happening elsewhere on the planet. And from an environmental sense, we get the real privilege to be able to share Indigenous stories and local community stories from around the world of real joy, but also real pain. A lot of stuff related to culture and community and cultural history and how that's connected to a certain piece of land. I also feel that we are in a space of, it's sad privilege, but it's privilege that there are places that we're, the films are documenting and celebrating that we get to showcase. These places that aren't going to be there even in a couple of years. So there's particularly a lot of our islander communities where flooding and rising tides are absolute. That's a little shout out to Rising Tide again. Actual rising tides. Yeah, we know that those places are going to be decimated. And so there's an absolute honour in being able to share those stories and that culture and that place in kind of even that almost pre-archival concept where we're at least capturing it now before it's gone. And even though we're not the filmmakers, be able to share those stories. It's depressing. We're not the depressing festival. We do have some fun films. It can be depressing, but it's also, yeah, it's a real privilege and honour to be able to find space for those stories and hold space for those.
And to even explore kind of how the protection might happen. Like, I think a lot of time stuff around like World Heritage listing and national park designations doesn't always mean land back or land justice for traditional custodians. So to be able to explore what protection of a landscape looks like in terms of land justice and land rights is also, yeah, really important.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a film coming up in our October festival, which is our flagship festival, that I won't get too much into because obviously we're pushing our Wednesday and Friday events at the moment, but it looks at a Native American group, an Indigenous group in the US, who currently are having their land taken away from them for green energy. So it's this really complicated thing that green energy is good, but it's taking away their land titles and their ways of living. And so just, yeah, these ideas of what does it mean to be protecting land when you're actually taking away from the people that were protecting it, I think are really interesting.
Green colonialism.
Yeah, fun for all. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't want to end on a depressing note. I think I've done it again. But thank you so much for chatting with us. It's been amazing to hear more about the context of both the films and the work and perspectives on environment in films and media environments, as you so poignantly put it, Koshin.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a great chat. I wish we could talk longer. I wish we had a bit longer.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely getting to know you too, and to get to talk about just some really brilliant pieces of cinema.
I'm excited.
Thanks so much, Freya.
Thank you.
Going to go out with a track by a Gumbangia artist who is from the region that we were talking about before with the Forest Camp doco. This is Manyang with the track Naguru Bula, which Bula meaning two.
Nora
really. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.